Welcome to episode 506 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Paul writes to Titus in Titus 2 verses 13 to 14, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peter writes to Christians scattered throughout the world in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In many versions of both Titus 2 verse 14 and 1 Peter 2 verse 9, the word special replaces peculiar, as used in the King James Version. As we explored last week, peculiar was not used in the sense of odd or weird, but as being distinctive in a singular, good way. It is likely due to a desire to avoid the suggestion of odd that modern translators have changed it to special, which carries a more positive connotation. A person may be distinctive because he is 9 feet tall and sports purple hair, and therefore odd. On the other hand, a person might be exceptionally handsome or have an engaging accent. Perhaps an individual's distinctiveness lies in artistic, athletic, or mathematical prowess. Maybe he or she has a photographic memory or has overcome a debilitating affliction. However, none of these distinctions matter in terms of why Christians are peculiar. In Titus 2 verse 14, the Apostle Paul uses the adjective form of the Greek word translated special, while in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, Peter uses the noun form of the same word. Paul also uses the noun form in Ephesians 1 verse 14, writing, "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory?" Here it is translated as purchased possession, which actually comes closest to its literal meaning, an acquisition, an obtaining, a possession. In Titus 2 verse 14, the Greek term literally means one's own or one's own possession, which is why his people are special. They are God's own, and so are therefore distinctive because nobody else owns the called out ones. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, some modern translators have replaced the King James word peculiar with an expanded version, something similar to his own special possession, implying the same specialness and distinctiveness due to ownership. Special means surpassing what is common or usual, exceptional, distinct among others, of a kind. We have been made unique, separate from others, peculiar, distinctive, and special from God's point of view, because he has obtained, acquired, or purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is who purchased us, our purchase price, and his reason for purchasing us that motivated the translators to use the word special. This is what conveys the sense of uniqueness. In one New Testament commentary, we read that the notion of his own possession, or people his very own, appears so often in Scripture in somewhat different forms that it ought to be considered as part of its technical phraseology. It is a point God clearly wants to impress on us through sheer repetition. His own possession, his own people, his called out people, his set apart people, his distinctive people, his people who are different from those who belong to the devil. This is who we are to God if we are in Christ. Why has God gone to this trouble and expense, an expense that cost him the most precious of all prices? The last phrase in Ephesians 1 verse 14 succinctly states why. To, for the purpose of, the praise of his glory. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 and Titus 2 verse 14 say essentially the same thing. However, Philippians 1 verses 9 to 11 states more specifically and expansively how his special people offer praise. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We, the called out ones, are unique because of who owns us, because of the price he paid to redeem us from our former owner, and in that we, the purchased possession, are to glorify him. Peculiar because we have been purchased. Peculiar as a possession. Peculiar because of our possessor. And because of who purchased us, and because of who possesses us, we are to praise. Peter uses language that had been used to describe God's special relationship with Israel. As Israel was, we, believers, the church, are also a chosen race. Unlike Israel, though, we're not a race in the sense of our family, ethnicity, skin color, or country of origin. We are a spiritual race, in the sense that in Christ, we share a single spiritual father. In that same meaning, we are a holy nation, a specific group of people called out and set apart from all other nations. What does it mean to be a holy people? The basic sense of the Hebrew word for holy is separate or set apart. Holy things are not for ordinary use, but for special purposes in the temple. Holy people, by analogy, are set apart by God for him and his purposes. Holiness isn't simply a matter of being separate from the world, it is being fully devoted to and invested in God's kingdom. To be holy is the opposite of being common or profane. God is holy in that he is utterly different and distinct from his creation. His people must also be distinct, separate from the heathen attitudes and actions which characterize them as unbelievers. All of the descriptions of who we are, captured in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, convey this idea of separateness. Christians together are a royal priesthood. In Israel under the law, one tribe was given the task of serving as priests, performing the duties of mediators between God and the rest of the nation. Very few held the honor and responsibility of actually coming into God's presence. But in and through Christ, the King, all believers are priests with direct access to our Father. We need no other mediator. God has formed this nation, this race, this priesthood to take possession of us. We are his people in a very real way. It's not just that we pledge our allegiance to him, it's that he has taken ownership of us. We belong to him. Why? For one, he has made us to declare his praises. That's more than just a natural response to our Father's mercy and something we should do to be polite. Declaring God's greatness is one reason for our very existence. When we praise him, we fulfill our purpose. He has called us out of the darkness of a meaningless life and an eternity apart from him and into his wonderful, marvelous light. Because we belong to him, we belong in his light. 1 Peter 2 verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We would have received the full penalty for our sinful choices, but through faith in Christ, we have received mercy. Our status has been permanently changed. Notice that both statements are in the present tense. We're not seeking and hoping to become God's people and receive mercy. In Christ, we are God's people. We have received mercy. The transaction is complete. That's a reason to sing praises. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be your own special possession. Give us the faith to accept your free gift of grace and fill us with a desire to sing praises to your name. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.